it's not your time yet. We've been waiting in line and we yeah. need to go through you to get to the ultimate prize.
You're standing in the way.
This is Queens of the Court.
What's up, everybody? It is your favorite duo once again. Welcome to another episode of Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast produced in partnership with the WNBA. I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. And Court.
And Court.
Is in session.
Is in session.
Booyah! Order in the court.
Order.
Order in our lives, because it is the week of WNBA All-Stars. So we're trying to sort a lot of things out to see Woo. Y'all in Phoenix. But we're going to be there. And we're here now.
It's a lot. I'm excited. You know, like, we've gotten several listener emails, right? Mm-hmm. And every time I read them, they always put a big smile on my face. Mm-hmm. And I understand why they feel the way they feel about our podcast. Because I always look forward to doing it on Monday, seeing you, because you put a smile on my face. And it's a great time for us to not just talk about hoops, but kind of talk a little bit about life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, speaking of life.
Okay.
Jordan, you've been in these streets lately. You've been in the streets. Listen, I've been stalking you on social media.
What? So what do you mean in these streets? Oh, you're talking about my event?
I had to screenshot it.
Took a screenshot of my Instagram post, you guys.
I did. Sure. Because I have to tell the people, listen, Jordan is, like, Jordan's big time, y'all. I didn't get no invite to this event.
No.
But you got it. No, you have to tell us about it, because I just want to read the caption. Okay?
Okay.
You said, when you get a DM from at Karen Civil, you run to RSVP.
Mm-hmm.
Because if y'all can remember, last year for the Swoop Soiree brunch, she didn't run to RSVP for my event.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying.
No.
I'm so in my feelings.
Doing this. I thought we healed and moved on. This year, I am there.
Until I read that caption, I was like, oh, okay.
God, last year, I did RSVP to your brunch, but then I had to interview Asia Wilson during the exact same time. For Women's Sports Network.
I remember that. You know what? And I did say I was going to let you make it.
You did, because it was
Asia. Because it's Asia Wilson.
Because you're right. Asia. So we've healed and moved on.
My bad. But it just brought back some memories.
I'm never gonna live that down.
You will. But I want to know about this event one day.
No, that event was so great. You know, Karen Civil is huge in the industry, especially, you know, with sports as well and with entertainment. So she was having this dinner after the ESPYs in LA, sent me a DM like on Wednesday for a Friday event. And I was like, yeah, this seems amazing. Let's dust off some heels and maybe I got a dress.
And did you have a dress?
Isn't that
come
cute?
On, shoulders.
I know, right? Yeah. Okay, I do need to learn how to pose, though. I was practicing a little in the mirror because I don't go to these events often for, you know, step and repeat or something like that. I gotta practice. I did the whole little, you know, hands at the waist. Yeah, I wanted to make sure my posture was good, but yeah, I need to pose. Do you have any tips on posing?
Listen, you were in the room that you were supposed to be in. How about that?
That was really special.
That's pretty dope.
It was a short list. Dope. It was a small dinner. So it was really nice. And it was just nice. It was honoring women in sports in LA. It was with Quavo's new alcohol. That was a sponsor of it, but it was nice to just be recognized. It was a bunch of different Black women in that room who were talent managers and PR, just doing a bunch of different stuff. So it was nice to be recognized. And
as you should be.
Thanks for,
as you should be.
For liking my Getty image. That was
I did.
A big deal.
Congrats.
Thank you.
You look lovely.
Thank you. Thank you, friend. Okay.
You're welcome.
Well, now that I'm sweating from trying to relive the horrors of missing Cheryl's brunch, let's get into this week's episode.
I know we got to hop in it because we got a lot, but one more thing.
Yeah.
Remember how we talked about Your Honor?
Yes.
Do you remember?
Yes.
Yeah, so good. Can we talk about another movie?
Oh, a movie. Because I got a show for you too. Yes.
I've kind of read mixed reviews, but tell me what yours is.
So mine is Presumed Innocent on Apple TV with Jake Gyllenhaal. I posted about it on my Instagram story with a little bit of a poll, like who's watching it, because I just needed someone to talk about it with. So I'm putting
Presumed
you on.
Presumed Innocent. Okay.
Jake Gyllenhaal, he was a prosecutor. Now he's on trial for murder. Still courtroom drama, everything that we love here on Queens of the Court.
Presumed Innocent.
Writing it down right now.
I am, because you know me, I got to check it out.
No, it's good. It's good. But it's weekly now, so you can binge up until this point, but new episode drops Wednesdays, I think.
Okay.
What's your movie?
And I don't know if you've heard about it, read about it, but it's all over social media.
Okay.
It's a movie, not a series, but Tyler Perry's Divorce in the Black.
Oh, okay. Is this with Megan Good?
Yeah.
Oh, is it good?
Yeah. So I watched it over the weekend.
Tyler Perry. I liked it. Okay.
But listen, I'm a Tyler Perry fan, but some of his movies I can't do. This one was, I wanted a little something different in it, but it was good. Like, it kept my attention from the beginning to the end. The only thing I wish was that I had, like, they would have given a little bit more backstory. I don't want to tell you about it because you do need to watch it.
All right, I'll watch it.
I needed a little bit more backstory, but it's worth the watch. So I would give it, I would give it 3.5 stars out of 5.
3.5. All right.
I want to give it 4, but I can't.
But you can't. 3.5 is honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
But check it out.
Okay. All right. So you guys, listeners, you guys got some work to do. Presumed Innocent and Divorce in the Black.
Yeah. Okay. So good. Right. Megan Good was great in it, though. I'll say that. She was a great act. She acted her you-know-what off in it.
So. I really like Megan Good. So,
me too.
Okay. Got it. Adding it to my list. Okay, now we got the goods out the way. Now we're going to get into the good goods of All-Star Olympics is approaching. But one thing I want to talk about is the injuries with the Olympians. Like, I know we talked about Cameron Brink. That kind of really set it off where she, you know, tore her ACL. She's going to miss her debut Olympics with the 3x3 team. But then it just felt like there were a lot of Olympians going down.
Like a domino effect.
And I was so nervous. I was like, okay, maybe everyone who's an Olympian just don't play. And that's kind of what's been happening. I just want to run through a list. So Nafisa Collier has been out for 5 games. She aggravated plantar fasciitis in her left foot. BG left a game early against the Fever on Friday. She left with a hip injury. Diana Taurasi was out with the Fever with a lower leg injury. Both of them came back against Connecticut on Sunday. But Brianna Stewart sat out versus Sky on Saturday. Ryan Howard hasn't played since June 19th because of her ankle. So everyone kind of has like one game this week. Do you think any of the Olympians should play this week or what's going on?
Do I think they should or do I think they will?
Oh, do you think they will?
No.
No.
No, I don't. Do I think they should? No, I don't.
It's a double no for me.
Here's why. But here's the interesting thing, though, Jordan. Not only should they not play this week, what happens at All-Star?
That begs the even bigger question. Do you not play at All-Star because you're holding out for the Olympics? I didn't even think of that.
And I mean, we mentioned the ones who were out, have been out, got hurt, came back, whatever. But I even think about like Chelsea Gray, right? Mm-hmm. Who's just getting her feet under her. I don't think Chelsea Gray should play in the All-Star game.
Interesting.
She probably will, but I don't. And I'm saying this for selfish reasons. Mm. We need our team as healthy as possible. Mm-hmm. So when I look at the injuries, I'll tell you, the Nafisa Collier injury really concerns me. Because plantar fasciitis is not, I know it says aggravated, but that's not something that you just get over overnight.
Right. That's a big deal.
And I know Coach Reeve was like, she'll be ready for the Olympics, which I'm hoping she will be. But you know what concerns me is her having not played the last five games. She has to be very limited with what she can do conditioning-wise, right?
Yeah.
Because of the plantar fasciitis. So how good or bad will her conditioning be come Olympic time? I don't know.
And of course, we don't know what, if they're working out, you know, outside of the games and just trying to play it safe with gameplay. But I think about that with Ryan Howard. I'm like,
yeah,
is she just not doing anything right now? That's kind of hard to believe because I so far we have heard that she is still on the team. So she would have to still be doing something. And Nafisa Collier kind of in that same boat. But I'm kind of sad. I didn't think about the possibility of them not playing an All-Star because, but then, okay, here's a devil's advocate point of view.
Okay.
I'm processing this in real time. There are such limited opportunities for Team USA to get together and really sort things out before the Olympics. When I look at the men's, you know, Olympic basketball team, they, you know, played against Canada. They're in Dubai now. Like they have like seven games where they're going to get to play before heading into the Olympics. The W or the players that are coming out of the W, it's like your regular season games are keeping you in shape. And then we're going to throw you all together and see what happens. So missing a game like the All-Star game, which is an exhibition game at the end of day.
That's a great point.
Could kind of hinder their cohesion as they head into the Olympics. So that's the devil's advocate of why you should have them play in the All-Star game.
And I like that. I do. I totally agree with that. And that's what sucks right now about the timing of our season, like the W season, right? Mm-hmm. NBA, this isn't their season. So, of course, they can go fly wherever, play all these exhibition games in preparation for the Olympics. And we can't do that. Yeah. So to your point, yeah, it would if the players are healthy and able to play, I would say absolutely play because they're not going to get any better competition.
Yeah.
Than playing against the W All-Stars.
Right.
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 The other side of that is you just keep your fingers crossed that no freak accident, no injury or anything like that happens, but I was surprised to see Diana play yesterday.
On Sunday.
Was that yesterday?
Yes,
yeah,
against Connecticut.
I was surprised to see her play Sunday against Connecticut. Because I honestly was like, yeah, Diana, DT's done until after the Olympics.
Me too.
And
not necessarily
like,
an injury. Not necessarily an injury, but just like resting and just getting your body right, which I think was Breanna Stewart as well, sitting out on Saturday.
Sure.
It was a jam-packed schedule last week, so I also feel that way. But let me ask you this, because, you know, this is only the second time, like we mentioned, that it's been Olympians versus All-Stars. But when you were playing and it was the Olympics during the WNBA season, how did you kind of manage that with how hard do I go in the regular season? Was there an extensive break or how did that go?
Oh, no, there was no managing. It was like business as usual. No, I don't think any of us really thought about that. It was like, no, we're playing every regular season game we can, All-Star game. No. And, you know, and I'm not saying that these players necessarily are like, I need to save my body for the Olympics. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of hard not to when you look at the injuries, though, right? You had Cam, Ryan, Nafisa. Well, let's go all the way back to Chelsea, who had not played at all,
right?
And so there's got to be something somewhere where they're like, all right, I'm gonna play, but I gotta take it a little easy. Because Jordan, freak accidents happen.
Yeah.
It's not that, you know, they're trying to or anyone's trying to hurt you, but it happens. So I hope we can get everybody back healthy. Mm-hmm. And those who are able to play will play in the All-Star game. But as far as this week, I don't even know the standings, like, just off the top of my head. But I would be like, chill.
Everybody chill.
Let's just wait. Yeah, let's just play in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And get ready for Paris.
Yeah, everybody chill. Everybody relax.
Yeah.
I feel those same vibes. Okay, well, we'll wait and see. Really interesting, though, you're saying you guys didn't think twice about it. It's like, we're just going to keep it rolling and because we want to play all the games.
Yeah, and I mean, you know.
Which, okay, hold up. This is coming flooding back to my mind. You were talking about my weekend. Speaking of you and the Olympics, you got to
wait a minute.
Hug President Barack Obama.
Did you like just sidetrack?
I had like a vision. Like, I was raving. I was like, wait a second. We're talking about the Olympics, and your whole Olympic team was honored in Vegas, and President Barack Obama was there, and you got to hug him, and you sent me the video because now I am one away from President Barack Obama. That's my first thought. I was like, selfishly, now I'm closer to President Obama. But what was that like? Real quick, we're talking about the Olympics, so it's not...
I know. So this fits, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, there were over like 300 Olympians that USA Basketball invited and brought to Vegas for the 50th anniversary celebration of USA Basketball. And so I happened to be in those numbers. But I have to tell you, it was such a great time and reminiscing with the, not just the 96 Olympic team, but, you know, everybody else, but in particular, me, Dawn, Lisa, Jen, Teresa Edwards, Ruthie Bolt, like we were just cutting up. Did you see me dancing?
I did see you dancing.
Yeah, I got to talk to Lisa about that. what happens in Vegas, right? But, we had a really good time, and everybody in the building, with the exception of those who planned it, I guess, we were all shocked when Grant Hill introduced Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came out, like, he's got to be the coolest dude ever. Not just president, but the coolest ever.
So cool.
Right? Like, he went down the line, dapping everybody up, dapping. And then he got over to the coaches, and it was like a handshake.
I know. It was like the Key and Peele sketch. I don't know if you've seen that, but that was
so funny. Yeah, perfect. It was hilarious. And then we went to the game. We watched the game. And after the game, I actually met him in the tunnel, and I was able to take a picture with him. And I always thought Barack Obama was like the coolest. I got to tell you a real funny thing. And so when he got introduced and he came out at the event,
mm-hmm.
everybody in the room started yelling, four more years, four more years.
Oh my goodness.
So, it was funny, but it was such a great time and great to connect with everybody. And, you know, just great memories, great fond memories.
We almost let that slide. No way.
No, we didn't.
That was so fun to live through those social media moments with Ruthie Bolton pulling out gold medals out of her purse. Like, this
you
is
saw that
iconic. Iconic. I can't wait to talk more.
Only Ruthie
would do that.
So
love that. Love that for you. Love this for me now that I'm one away from Barack Obama. So incredible. Incredible weekend in Vegas.
It was.
Can't wait for the Olympics, and eager to see, just to wrap up that whole segment, just eager to see what happens this week and who plays and how the injury reports come through. We'll be keeping our eyes on that and talk to you guys more about that as Olympics approach.
And as we're wrapping up, let me say this. You know, we're talking about who will play in the All-Star game, right? And I had to go back to, I guess, three or four years ago, when W All-Stars beat the mm-hmm. Olympic team in the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go back and think about that, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're going to play. I forgot. Because it's revenge.
It's revenge. There's layers. There's so many layers to it.
There's a lot of layers to it. It's like, oh, no. No, 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 no.
Yeah.
We owe y'all one.
We got you.
Yeah.
So just swinging around the league a little bit, some other things that happened, you know, Indiana Fever take down the 3-seeded Lynx, but it was without Nafisa Collier. So that's definitely the caveat on that. But Fever are playing some really good basketball right now. On the offensive end, Aaliyah Boston is playing well. I mean, Caitlin Clark had the first triple-double for a rookie. Just a lot of things on Indiana. They're figuring it out, their rotations. So I guess at this point, I'm not surprised. But if you would have told me in May, I would have been shocked that they would have beat the Lynx, especially from the start the Lynx had. But right now, they're making some noise. So I think this is spot on. What do you think?
You know, if you go back to like our first episode and we talked about like the one word to describe each team.
Yeah.
I don't remember my word, but I think it was like fun, maybe.
Okay.
Young and fun. I don't remember. But they are a fun team to watch. They're young. I agree with you. Back in May, I would have been like, no. Mm-hmm. And if playoffs started today, they would be in the playoffs, right?
Yes.
But here's what I think. Everybody's talking about Caitlin Clark, rightfully so. First rookie to get a triple-double. Like, that... We talk about AT and her triple-doubles and how special that is and how hard it is to do. But to do it as a rookie is crazy insane, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about Aaliyah Boston, how well she's playing now, her and Caitlin playing together. They're doing exactly what I think everybody thought would eventually happen. This one player for me, I don't think we've talked about her enough. And that's Kelsey Mitchell.
Yes. All-star Kelsey Mitchell.
Kelsey Mitchell, she's got to be one of the quickest players in the game. Kelsey and Kennedy Carter, those two with and without the ball, I can't keep up with them. But I think once Indiana started playing through Aaliyah Boston is where I feel like things change for them, right? Because it's not about Aaliyah just scoring it every time, but she's going to command so much attention. A double team, she always makes the right play, the right pass. So those two, Caitlin, Aaliyah, great. But I think people have forgotten about how good Kelsey Mitchell is. Because when, you know, Caitlin's drawing to or Aaliyah's drawing to, Kelsey is just patiently standing out there waiting like, y'all, I'm open. I can shoot it. Give me the rock. But not only is she knocking down threes, Jordan, she's putting the ball on the deck. She's getting to the hole. She's finishing at the rim. She's defending. Like, Kelsey Mitchell, to me, has really changed this Indiana Fever squad.
Yeah.
And I just don't, I don't think we talk about her or mention her enough. So, yes, this Indiana Fever team, they have come on as of late. Mm-hmm. And I do think a lot of it is because of the rest they've been able to get. For whatever reason, ESPN, the league, somebody thought it was a great idea to give them all these games early on. And, like, rest and practice are important.
Yeah. And I don't think we're talking about enough how Kelsey Mitchell, like, that was a part of their slow start. Like, she was out. She missed training camp with an injury. So she was kind of slowly getting into it as well. And this was a new team with rookies and new players all together. So that was all a part of it. And now that Kelsey Mitchell is healthy and getting her speed back, because when you have a lower leg injury or an ankle injury, her speed is back and there. And she is not only shooting those threes, but she's blowing by people. And she's getting so many fast break opportunities because she's already down the floor before the defense even realizes it. So having that speed and having a player like Caitlin to be able to pass up ahead, she is just feasting. So I think we're getting a new Kelsey Mitchell this year because of those passes that she's getting, where last year she had to create a lot on her own off the ball. So it's like a new player. So that has been fun. we're going to talk a little bit more about the fever a little bit later in the show. But one thing I wanted to talk about is the Mystics, because we got a listener email a little bit ago, and this was from Charles, and he wrote us and said, "Loving the podcast. I know the Mystics record hasn't been stellar." That is so kind. "But are they the only team not to have a player in the All-Star game?" And Charles, yes, they are the only team to not have an All-Star this season. And then this week, Ariel Atkins showed us that she should have been that player representation from Washington, and why she's a two-time All-Star and an Olympian. Dropped 36 points, a career high, versus the Aces, not just anybody, versus yeah, the Aces. She had 16 in the first quarter. She also, earlier in the week, had 26 in the win versus the Fever. So Ariel Atkins is like, hello, y'all must have forgot. I know our record isn't great, but there's also some other teams that don't have a great record who have an All-Star on this squad.
No doubt.
So,
no doubt.
Yeah. What do you think about Atkins showing up, showing out?
First of all, Ariel must have read Charles's email to us, right? Because she was like, oh, okay, I got you.
Yes.
You know, it goes back to, okay, if she makes All-Star team, who doesn't? Right? I know you.
Yeah,
we always bring that up.
Through that.
But my thing is, like, when you look at just the last couple of games, what she's done, but also she's been a two-time All-Star, right, an Olympian, and she's been playing well. And I kind of look at it, I like to look at situations like this and say, you can't necessarily always look at a team's record and say, well, their record's not very good, so no one deserves to be on the All-Star team. Mm-hmm. It's fan voting, it's media voting, it's player voting. You got to show some respect to Ariel and what she's not just done these last two games, but what she's been able to do for this Mystics team. Mm-hmm. They have been injury prone. They've been beaten down, and she is still showing up for this squad every single night. So not a flower segment, but we're making it one for you, Double A, because you have been balling, and I don't know, keep going. Who knows? Listen, they still have a chance to make the playoffs. That's all I'll say.
They really do. They do. And yeah, it has to be rewarded in some capacity, which I feel like could be an All-Star nod of, yes, you are on not so great team, but you individually are balling out, because that's what the All-Star is. It's an individual award. And so you, I think the MVP award gets mixed into that. Are you the best player on the best team? Are you just the best player in the league? But an All-Star, you could be the best player on the worst team, still giving everybody buckets. And I think Ariel Atkins is like, hey, my average is high. I'm still giving all of these All-Stars and Olympians buckets because I've played with all of them on this high level. So, yeah. Charles, you have a point. I think that's,
yes, you do,
that's
Charles.
Wild that they're the only team that does not have any representation.
That's crazy. That 0-12 is crazy.
Stars is tough, but all right. Ariel Atkins, we see you. And I should count for something, because the queen
sees
you.
Yes, we do. We do.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk, if the season ended today, what would that look like? We'll be back. Welcome back to Queens of the Court, and I am looking at the standings right now, 1-8. If the season ended today, the New York Liberty would be number one. They would face off. I'm going to read these off, and then we can go one by one. So the Liberty would be number one. They would face off against the number 8 seed, Chicago Sky. Spicy. Then number 2 seed, Connecticut Sun, would go up against the Indiana Fever. They're at number 7 right now.
Spicier.
The Aces at number 3 would go up against the Phoenix Mercury. spiciest, maybe? I don't even know.
I don't know either.
And then the number four Minnesota Lynx would go up against the Seattle Storm. Mm. Okay, looking at this, my first thing is we should end the season now, right?
Right? I love these matchups.
I love them. Okay, let's start with New York and Chicago. The Liberty rolling right now. First team to 20 wins. They're at 20-4. Chicago Sky sitting at 9-14. They just had their own little mini series this past week where New York took, I don't even know if it was personal, if they just wanted to be petty, but they just, they heard the noise that Chicago can hang with them and they just said, no. And they, 2-0 over the Sky this past week. What are your thoughts on that matchup?
I know it's 8-1. I love the matchup.
Me too.
Like it could potentially be an upset.
Oh,
potentially. No, potentially it could.
It could.
Listen, Chicago, there's something about this squad. I've been saying this, there's still a piece that they're missing.
Uh-huh,
but come playoff time, your record, regular season, none of that matters. And the fact that Chicago has beaten New York before, it gives them that confidence going into the playoffs. The other side of it is New York also remembers that. And again, it's playoffs. So New York is like, listen, we ain't got time to play with y'all.
So let's just
take care of business.
I
like that matchup.
I would say.
I like it a lot.
I would say, I don't know necessarily if the Sky could upset the Liberty, but I would say the Liberty do not want to see the Sky in the playoffs. Like, that is a team where because the thing about the playoffs is you can be streaky a little bit, and you have Kennedy Carter who can go off for 30 one night, and if she does that on a night that beats you in the playoffs, then that's just how the cookie crumbles.
And that's not
what you want. You don't kind of want that up to chance when you're going up to somebody in the playoffs. So interesting.
And the other thing I'll add to this particular matchup, if Jonquel Jones shows up, Sky doesn't have a chance.
Don't have a chance.
If Jonquel Jones does not show up, Sky has a great chance.
Okay, here's to hoping that actually happens, because I think it would be fun. Moving on to Connecticut at number two. Well, they're 18-5. And then going up against the Indiana Fever at number 7.
Love this matchup too.
What?
Love, love, love.
Love, love, love. Tell me everything, because I like it
I love everything about it. just everything. You know, all the back and forth stuff on social media too, right? Mm-hmm. With Dejanay and Caitlin.
Yes.
I'm here for all of that. You know, Connecticut, this is the one, though. I know Indiana's playing better, but I feel like Connecticut has their number.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Connecticut has Indiana's number.
Yes.
But if Connecticut does not show up and jump on Indiana early, because I feel like Indiana's just going to keep getting better as the season goes on, their confidence is going to be high, this is going to be a good matchup.
That's the interesting part, because it's like Connecticut started so well. Indiana started so not well.
Not well.
And then now it's kind of like a little, not evening out, but like Connecticut is coming back to reality and Indiana Fever are getting more confident. So if they cross each other at the wrong part in the playoffs, you know what I mean? But when we look at the regular season, Connecticut has won. They played each other already 3 times, which seems hard to believe. But Connecticut has won all of those matchups. The closest one was a 4-point game. That was the end of May. But we're going to get some great content out of that. Great memes.
Doubt.
That's going to be a good content game.
Well, here are two players for me for Connecticut. We know what AT is going to do. We mm-hmm. know what Dawana Bonner is going to do, Bree Jones. If Rachel Bannum can shoot the basketball the way she did on Sunday,
let's talk about it.
I don't know. Indiana then has to kind of go and like pick their poison, because that's the one thing Connecticut needs on a consistent basis. And Rachel Bannum shot the lights out on Sunday. Other player, sorry, Dejanay. I keep talking about her. I think Dejanay has a chip on her shoulder, rightfully so. Should be an all-star. Anyway, we won't go back there. But Dejanay Carrington, I don't even remember how many rebounds she had, but had a double-double on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Dejanay is playing out of her mind on both ends of the floor. Offensively, she's getting it done. Defensively, she's like, okay, who you want me to guard, Steph? Oh. Okay, I got you. Like, I just think she's on a mission herself personally, mm-hmm. right? And then Connecticut, like, they're always the bridesmaid.
Yeah.
I think they're ready to be the bride.
Mm-hmm. We can't underestimate that willpower to just be like, okay, Fever, it's not your time yet. We've been waiting in line. And we need to go through you to get to the ultimate prize.
You're standing in the way.
You're standing in the way. I like that a lot. And,
well, Jordan, inexperience plays a big part mm-hmm. when it comes to the playoffs.
Yes.
Which, even when I go back to Chicago and the Liberty, the same thing, right? Liberty's been there before.
Yeah.
But there's something, the mentality for Chicago seems to be a little different for me. But, yeah. Let's just go. Let's go to the playoffs.
Just when you said that experience factor, I'm kind of shocked that even if the season ended today, the Fever would be in the playoffs. I don't think I knew that they would be in the playoffs. I don't think I knew that they would make that jump. I guess they were barely out of the playoffs last year. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So this makes sense. They're sitting at 7. But real quick for Rachel Bannum, because 8 made three-pointers is a WNBA record for a non-starter and a franchise record, regardless. Anybody. 8 made threes is incredible. She
was stroking that thing.
She is a shooter. And they won. She had 21 points. Maybe not heavy on the scouting report. Of course, you got to count for her because she's a shooter. But they won the game by 27 points because of her extra effort off the bench. So, yeah, you got to make sure to account for Rachel Bannum.
Yeah, you do. Woo! Yeah, you do.
All right.
That's going to be spicy.
That's going to be good.
Well, listen, we don't even know if that's going to be the matchup. I know. Whatever.
This is just our imagination. If the season ended today. Yeah. Las Vegas Aces at 3. Phoenix Mercury at 6. Oh, my goodness.
I love this matchup, too.
Who can I pay for this to be the matchup? Like, how can we make this happen? Because, come on. I love it.
Jordan, you know, there are some teams just have your number, mm-hmm. right? But, and like, as for a matchup. It just happens to be what the matchup is. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that Phoenix has Vegas's number, but I like this matchup. I like this series, if you want to say. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. I don't know any team that wants to play Asia, Laquita, Shaniqua, Wilson in the playoffs.
No.
Asia's on a different planet right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Chelsea Gray is only getting better with every single game, right? Got the Olympics coming up. She's going to get some more games under her belt. And you know what? You have 4. Am I correct? 4 Vegas Aces on the Olympic team.
Yes, you are. 4.
And those are your main pieces.
You have 4 starters
playing with each other. Yeah.
Yeah, they're still going to be playing
with each other.
They're not even really going to have a break. They're just going to be like, "Oh, this is another day of practice."
No.
Oh my, that is a good point. Yeah, nobody wants to play the the Aces, but if there is one team that wants to spoil,
of course,
a three-peat, who would love that storyline of
my goodness
upset the back-to-back champs would be a Kalia Copper Finals MVP, a Natasha Cloud WNBA champion, a Diana Taurasi and BG two-time WNBA champ. Like, this would be the team that would say, okay, it's our turn to ruin the party. So I think they're going to give it all they got. I don't think they can.
No doubt.
But I think it would be interesting. And also, you got to play in Phoenix in the playoffs. They haven't no been doubt. There in a while.
Listen, it's good. Like, it's good stuff. That's good stuff.
That might be, would you say that's going to be the best crowds? Oh, I don't know. Once we get to that next one, Minnesota and Seattle would be good. But the best crowd at home,
it could
home
be.
Court advantage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vegas versus Phoenix would be.
Yeah. It absolutely could be.
Tough to win
on. And who knows, right? I'm not saying this because she hasn't said it, but if this is Diana's last season.
Yeah.
Like, what does that look like for her to go out winning another championship? But even if they don't win a championship, to be a part of the team that stopped the Aces from three-peating.
That's so a part of her, or that's a part of her story. It has to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that could be good.
Okay. That could be good. Okay, that could be good. So the last matchup, 4 and 5. 4 right now is the Minnesota Lynx. They dropped a little bit because they've been losing without Nafisa, who was putting up MVP numbers before getting injured. So they're at 4 right now. And then the Seattle Storm is at 5, who are on the rise. They are playing so well right now. They had a 9-game homestand, which is like unheard of. They went 7-2 in that. So they're clicking. They're at 16-8 after a slow start to the season. And the Lynx are tied 16-8 as well. So who do you have coming out of this one?
This one's tough for me. You know, when I look at this Seattle-Minnesota matchup, I immediately go to the bench.
Okay.
Because for me, this matchup, in a way, would come down to bench production. Like, which bench is going to be able to contribute and bring more in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, I love where Seattle is right now. I love how they're playing. They're starting to, like, the chemistry's there. They're starting to gel. Jewel Lloyd is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
NECA is playing out of her mind.
So well.
Ezzy's doing Ezzy things. Skylar is getting back to Skylar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this Seattle Storm team, not to take anything away from Minnesota, because I think Minnesota's playing well also. But Seattle could be scary in the playoffs to me.
Yeah. Because of all of the vets that you just named who are also on a mission with this new look team.
Jordan Horston.
Playing great.
Man. I know it's just her second season, but she is playing really well for this team.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm like, what type of bench production does Seattle have or will they have? Because the side, when I look at Minnesota, if Diamond Miller can come back after the Lynx, I know she's playing, but how healthy can she be? How healthy will she be? I like Natisha Heidemann coming off the bench for Minnesota. I don't know. This matchup, this one to me is very interesting.
I think so too. I'm not like,
either way.
Me too. I'm not confident of like, oh, because Minnesota is ranked higher, they're going to move on. I don't think so. I think we've seen Jewel Lloyd turn into something else in the playoffs time and time again. So that can very much happen again. Oh,
love that.
My gosh, I really like these matchups. I can't wait to, like, when the playoffs is about to start and we can look back and see if these hold.
Yeah, because I think there are teams that aren't in the playoffs right now that could sneak in the playoffs.
They'd sneak in. They're not far off. Like, Chicago is holding on to that eight spot. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be a different conversation of who fills that, comes in and snatches it. There's some teams at the bottom that if they get healthy,
yeah,
they could slide back in there. So
I know, so it might be far-fetched, but Dallas is very interesting to me, especially if Satu comes back healthy. That's one of the teams I'm like, keep your eyes on Dallas.
Keep your eyes on Dallas. All right. Well, that was fun.
That was fun.
Look into the future. That was great. Okay, we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, it's time to give out some flowers.
Let's go.
Welcome back to Queens of the Court. And it is time to hand out a few bouquets. That means it's time for Giving Flowers, presented by AT&T, our favorite. And first up, we got to do Asia Wilson. Her first career 2020 game, 24 points and 20 rebounds in the win against Seattle. Again, not a this is a big time team. They won 84-79 last Wednesday. Aces have won the last 11 of their last 13. But what type of flowers you want to give Asia for that 2020 game?
I want to give her a whole garden. So let her go pick what flower she wants. She gets whatever.
You can get the whole garden because
listen, girl. I don't even want to say a lot because I just want her stats to do the talking. And here's what I feel every day Asia is saying. Asia Sam or Shaquita Laniqua, whatever, one of them. I feel like she wakes up and says, oh, expletive, I dare you to give me a fourth place vote this year.
Every time when she looks in the mirror. Yes.
It's just so disrespectful. It wasn't even me. And I get mad when I think about that. Like, what in the world?
I know.
Who? How? What? What were you thinking? Don't make it personal. And to me, a fourth place vote is personal. I don't know. I don't know if it was somebody that asked her out on a date and she said no. Like, I don't know what it was. But come on, man. Come on, man.
And every day she, yes, I think it's on a sticky note. It's somewhere. Woo. And it is very personal.
Yeah.
And she's also some flowers for the cover of NBA 2K.
How about that?
As you should be. So all of this is just, hey, it's all happening the way it should be for Asia.
Listen, I love Jason Tatum, so I'll take it. But she should be on there by herself. I'm just saying. But we'll take it. We'll take it. But seriously, Jordan, just when you think she can't play any better or she can't do anything better, she does.
Top tier.
Yeah, like, Asia, you already know how we feel about you on this show. I'm not even going to ask you to come on because I see you all over the place. You got so much going on. You ain't got time for us little queens of the court. But
we still going to give you your flowers. We still love
it. It's so beautiful to watch. And, you know, what I love about her is that even though she is, to me, by far easily MVP,
mm-hmm.
like she's not satisfied. And she continues to elevate her game and making everybody around her better and continues to give her teammates credit. And she, man.
I know.
I'm a fan, Asia. Okay. I'm a fan.
A fan.
Yeah.
We love you, Asia. Okay, next up, some flowers. Real quick, just for like a rookie shout out to Celeste Taylor, because she got waived by Indiana to make room for a healthy Dantas. She gets picked up on a 7-day contract for Phoenix. Who is Phoenix's first game? Against her former team, the Fever.
Right?
She played a total of 17 minutes in the 18 games that she was with the Fever. and our first game with the Mercury, because Natasha Clouds, you know, sat out, Diana Taurasi was out. She played 24 minutes in that one game. She was asked to run point guard. She didn't know any of the sets. She ended with 5 assists and 2 steals. Like, of course, you know, Natasha Cloud and Taurasi are back, but this league is so wild where things can change for you overnight and you have to be ready. You have to still work on your game and not be comfortable on the bench. You don't know when your number can be called. And it was so nice because I loved watching Celeste in college, especially on the defensive end. She got her number called and she went in and just played basketball because she didn't know anything about that team. She just met them all the day before. So to come in and just play, I bet that was also just really nice for her to just be like, yeah, I do know how to play basketball. Like, I am.
And you know what? I belong in this league.
Yes, I belong in here.
Here's the thing. Offensively, absolutely, you got to have more practice time. But the thing I loved is how hard she played. I don't care if you've been with a team for 30 seconds. You can always play defense.
Always.
And to me, that's what Celeste did so well in college. Mm-hmm. And that's where I feel like she will find her niche in this league, is being a defensive stopper.
Yes.
And I thought she played hard. And you have to know she was nervous for 2 reasons, right? She had just gotten there. She's playing with Phoenix now. And he's like, go in, run the team.
Yeah.
Then it's against her former team.
I know.
So she wants to have a good showing. So Celeste Taylor, giving you your flowers. Shout out to you. So happy for you. Keep working.
Keep working. I just loved that. All right. Here's the last little shout out. This was hilarious. So right before we started recording, our wonderful producer James mentioned and was like, oh yeah, we should put this in the show. There was an ESPN top 100 athletes since 2000, and our very own Cheryl Swoops was ranked number 81. And before he finished the number, Cheryl was like, it was too low. And I wish you guys could have saw James' face, because it just dropped. He thought he was doing something great. And
oh my gosh.
It is great, Cheryl. Top 100 athletes since 2000. But you're not satisfied. I think this is a flowers, because I want to give you your flowers. But what do you think?
Listen, I thank you and I thank James for wanting to give me flowers. This is more like a thorn in my side. It ain't no flower. It ain't no bouquet. No. Listen, for real. Like, I'm honored, but I'm just like, I want to know who the 80 people are above me.
Yeah. That is the most Cheryl Swoops answer that has, I honestly wouldn't expect anything less. Anything less. If you would have said, wow, 81, that is such an honor. I would have said, someone, I'll call the police, something, go to Cheryl's house. It's a robot.
Right? Like, I barely made the list. 81 out of 100?
Not barely.
Come on. I barely made the list. That does not sit very well with me. And I can't come out of retirement.
You know how many, there are so many athletes who weren't even, they were number 5,100, but oh well, that's their problem. They're not Cheryl Swoops. What number do you think, without even seeing the list, what number would you be comfortable with?
And like, I don't know the list. I don't know the criteria. I don't know none of that. Yeah, but you know what? What number would I be comfortable with? I'm always going to say number one, but I know that's not going to happen. You know what? I'll roll with 22.
22. Okay.
Yeah.
Little jersey number shout out. That would be so top 25.
Deuce. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I think I deserve top 25.
I think you do
too. I don't even know who's on the list, but let's go.
I think you do too. And with that, this has been Giving Flowers, presented by AT&T. Maybe even a thorn or so. But hey, roses have thorns. That's fine. Woo. Okay. That was hilarious. Make sure to please continue to follow, rate, review the show. It's available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also send us questions, feedback, stories to our listener emails. We can't wait to see you guys in Phoenix. Our email address is queensofthecourt@odyssey.com.
And y'all know where to find us on social media, because Jordan just had her shoulders out and everything. But y'all know where to find us. I'm at AirSwoops22. She, her, Jordan is at... I'll keep it short and sweet, because okay. Are you dancing today?
No, I'm not dancing. I'm laughing, actually.
I know, that's why I asked. She's at Hey Jordan R.
Queens of the Court is an Odyssey original created in partnership with the WNBA.
The show is produced by James Jackson. The executive producers are Asha Saluja, Maddie Sprung Kaiser, and Leah Reese Dennis. Social media assistance from Isabella Apple. Music from T Storm Battle. And a very special thank you to Lena Moss Glazer and the one and only Alex Ozzie.
And Court.
And Court.
Is adjourned.
Is adjourned.